great if we invited all of our society friends to come in and meet our new child, because they were so excited about this little boy that had come to be part of their family. And so the night came when they'd invited everybody to come, and folks piled in from all over the city. And as they came into the house, they kind of went into a bedroom and threw their coats and their furs on top of a bed and made their way in, where their host greeted them, and they had a great time celebrating this wonderful event. Finally, the time came when they were going to introduce this new toddler to everybody and realized, we don't know where he is. In the midst of greeting our friends and spending time together, we've lost sight of our new little boy. Where on earth could he be? And everybody kind of began to panic, and they looked all over the house and they turned things upside down, and finally they found the little boy. He was safe and sound and asleep under a pile of coats that had been thrown on top of him when everybody arrived. Somehow, in the midst of all of the excitement, they forgot the main reason that they had come to begin with. Now, I tell you that story because you could have that same impression when you try to study the Christmas story through the Gospel of Mark. You know, this year I'm trying to walk through each of the Gospels and talk about part of the Christmas story that's found in each one of them. And Mark is different from all the other Gospels. It's often described as the action gospel because it starts quickly and it never slows down. Mark is the shortest of the gospels, 16 chapters. It records fewer of the things Jesus taught and more of the things that Jesus did. It just continues to move on and on and on. In fact, Mark's favorite word is the word immediately. And time after time, as he describes what Jesus is up to, he will say, and immediately this happened, and immediately they were at this place, and immediately he encountered this people, and he gets in such a big hurry that one of the things you discover about the Gospel of Mark is that Christmas is missing. It's the only gospel that completely overlooks the birth of Christ. He begins his gospel by saying this, the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, and launches immediately into the ministry of Christ. So here's my question for you this morning. So how do you preach a Christmas message from a gospel in which Christmas is completely missing? You never encounter Jesus in the Gospel of Mark until he is a fully grown man. The answer? Mark may issue the greatest spiritual challenge you could possibly hear on the first Sunday of December as we move into our celebration of the birth of Christ. It's found in a challenge that's contained in verse 3, where the Bible simply says, prepare the way for the Lord. Prepare the way for the Lord. So my question for you is, how are you preparing to celebrate Christmas this year? You know, there are a lot of things that go into it. We spent most of this weekend decorating at our house. You've got decorations to do. You've got shopping to take place. There are gifts to wrap. There's baking to be done. There's so many things that you do in preparing for Christmas to come. But my question is more about the preparation that really matters. Are you preparing the way for the Lord in your life? Or are you tempted, as these folks at the party were, to get so involved in all of the things that go on around the main event that you forget the one whose birth we're celebrating? Are you preparing the way for the Lord? Are you spiritually prepared to celebrate the greatest coming the world has ever seen? I want to ask you three central questions this morning that will determine whether your heart is preparing to celebrate the birth of Jesus. The first critical question is simply this: is your heart right? Is your heart right this Christmas? Have you chosen to make a way for the Lord? The Christmas story reminds us that Jesus only enters into the places where he's welcomed. He reveals himself to folks who desire to be right with Him, who have made the decision, I want to make sure I am searching for Jesus. Have you ever wondered why the Lord allowed His Son to be born in a manger? There was nothing special about that place where Christ was born. It was not a holy site. It was not a place that had been set aside by the Lord from the beginning of the world. There is nothing in the prophets that says when the Son of God comes, He will be born and placed in a manger. Why was it that Jesus was born there? It was the only place that was available to Him. And that's why He was born there. Jesus was born in the manger because the manger was the only place they could find. They did not arrive at that stable until Mary and Joseph had searched everywhere they could think of to go. They had covered Bethlehem trying to find a place so that when that baby came, they would be in a safe place. And there was nothing there until finally they found this stable. And they found that feed trough. And that's where they laid their baby. He could have been born in a palace if one had been made available to him. He would have been content to be born in one of the safe, warm homes in Bethlehem. The truth is, he would be glad to have been in that noisy, crowded inn. But none of those places were available to him. Not one person said to them, "Come in, we'll make room for you. We've got a place for you. You can belong here. Come here and give birth to your child." Only the manger was available. And that's why Jesus was born there. And in the same way, the Lord will never force Himself into the lives of people who do not want to be open to His presence. The truth is, there are an awful lot of people who are going to celebrate Christmas this year, and they will never once give thought to the birth of the Son of God. You know what they'll think about? They'll think about Hallmark movies where there's no Jesus. They'll watch commercials that say, "Buy yourself an automobile this Christmas." But there's no Jesus. In fact, I watched a car commercial yesterday, I think, and it said, "There's just no room in your life for a silent night." And I thought, how sad. How sad. And folks will be with friends, and they'll be with families, and they'll exchange gifts, and they'll look at decorations, and they'll do all of the things that go along with the Christmas season. And they'll never once think about Jesus. And He waits to be invited in. If you choose to spend this Christmas season without Christ, if you focus all your attention on other things, He will respect your decision. If you say to the Lord, as they said so long ago, "No room for you, no room for you," then He'll respect the choice you made. But you'll miss the only thing that really matters. So I ask you, at the beginning of the Christmas season, is your heart right? Have you chosen to make room to prepare for the Lord? I think it's important that we recognize something about those people who turned Him away so long ago in Bethlehem. Most of them were not evil people. They were not intentionally callous. They weren't trying to be cruel by turning this young couple away. What they were was busy. Their lives were just too full. There were too many things to distract them. They did not recognize the opportunity that was in front of them. They forfeited the opportunity to welcome the King of Kings, to be that place where the Son of God came into the world. And because so many other things were drawing their attention away, they never even knew it was Him. Same thing is true today. Plenty of distractions. Not bad things, just busy things. And every year people emerge from Christmas with sparkling gifts and all kinds of activities. and they never realize what they've missed. Here's what I want you to remember this morning. You are not prepared unless you choose to make time to step aside and remember what the birth of Christ is all about. You have not prepared a place for the Lord, a way for the Lord, until you have made the decision in your heart of hearts, I'm going to trust Him, but more than that, I'm going to listen to Him. I'm going to pay attention to what He's saying to me. I'm going to put other things aside for a while and just let my heart rest on the reality of Jesus Christ. One of the things I love most about our Christmas Eve service every year is that we have that time that's set aside to just pay attention to the Lord Jesus Christ. So I guess I want to ask you the question this morning, is your heart right? What are you expecting God to say to you? Are you searching for Him this Christmas? Then I want to ask you a second essential question, and it is simply this. Is your message straight? Is your message straight? Do you know what you're talking about when you talk about the coming of Jesus? One year, a woman decided she'd had her fill of using up all of her time trying to find the right gifts for the right people, some of whom she didn't care much about, and some she wasn't even sure she knew. But she had this list of people, and every year she bought them all a gift, and every year she made sure everybody got something, and every year by the time Christmas came around, she was exhausted. So she decided, this year I'm just not buying any presents. This year, I'm just going to find some kind of little card, and I'm going to send it to folks and just tell them Merry Christmas, and they won't have to worry about that gift, and they won't have to worry about whether they like it or not, and I won't have to worry about whether it got returned as soon as I gave it. I'm just not giving gifts this Christmas. So she began to go and look around for a card. She stopped by a drugstore, and she looked at all sorts of different kinds of cards with different things on the front. And finally, she settled on a box of 50 that had holly and bows on the front and a message that said, with all of my love. And she flipped those cards open, and she signed each one of them, and she addressed them, and she sent them out in the mail, and everything was done in one afternoon, she thought. Then the day after Christmas, when everybody had come and gone, and when all the wrapping paper had been scooped up and put away in the trash, and she was beginning to straighten her house out again, she found one of those cards that somehow she'd not sent. It was just an extra. And for the first time, she opened this card up, and she decided to see what it was going to say. And this was what it said inside the card. This Christmas card is just to say, a little gift is on your way. She thought she had the message right, but it was wrong. I wondered this year, do you have your message straight? You know, the message of Christmas, it's not about you and me. It's not about what we want or what we should have. It's not about gifts, and it's not about gatherings. This is the message that matters. God looked down on a world covered in darkness and infected by sin. He saw people who were lost. They were without God and without hope in the world. His heart went out to them, and He wanted to redeem them. He sent a star of promise to pierce the darkness. And then He sent His Son to save lost people from condemnation. Now, if you want the story of Christmas, that's it. It's not about animals, and it's not about shepherds. They're there. But that's not the message. The message is we have a Redeemer God who loves us. We have a Redeemer God who sent His Son to be our Savior. We have a Redeemer God who not only sent His Son to be born, but His Son came to die. And He came to die to buy your redemption and mine. And if you go through Christmas and you don't realize you have a Savior, if you're here this morning and you've never entered into a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, you need to understand this is God's Christmas story. And that little gift that was on the way became a man who became a Savior, who offers you a chance to begin again if you just trust Him. Your Christmas message is the story of the Savior. A few years ago, a town in West Virginia had a decision to make. For years, one of the things that was a centerpiece in their town was a beautiful nativity set that was set out in the town square in front of their city hall, and people would come by and they would see this nativity. It was just part of the life of the town until one day somebody objected. Somebody said, "I don't like that nativity scene being on public land. You need to do something about it." And they got together and the city council began to discuss, how are we going to respond to this objection and what should we do? Because we've got a lot of people who enjoy this and this is part of their Christmas and this is something everybody expects. But now we've got this person who really has a problem with it being on public land, and they were trying to figure out, so how can we come up with a solution that will satisfy everybody so nobody's going to be offended? And after a lot of discussion, this is what they decided to do. They said, let's leave up the manger scene. We'll just take out the baby Jesus. We'll leave the manger in place. The shepherds will be where they belong. The camels will be standing there. The wise men will bring their gifts. But the manger is going to be empty. Then nobody will be offended by Jesus. But we have to remember, there is no message of Christmas without Christ in the center. You know what you call a nativity without the Savior? You call it a group of people standing around doing nothing. Because it really is all about Jesus. So I ask you the question this morning, do you have your story straight? Do you know what you believe in? Are you committed to it with all of your heart? Make sure that Christ is in the center of the story you have to share. And finally, if you're going to prepare the way for the Lord, there's one last question you need to ask, and it is this. Is your hope fixed? Is your hope fixed? Of all the people Mark forgot to tell us about, some of the ones who intrigue me most are the wise men who come from the east. We don't know very much about them. They show up and they go away, and that's pretty much the end of their story. But this is what we know. We know they left everything behind to search for Jesus. They traveled through unfamiliar cities and across vast deserts. They had no idea where they were going or how long it was going to take to get there. But when they finally arrived, they had no problem recognizing the young Messiah. Why was that? Because the wise men fixed their hope on the star that led them to the King. From the beginning of their journey to the end, what they did was keep the star before them, and it led the way till it brought them to Jesus. No matter where they were or what they were doing, they knew as long as we keep the star in place, we'll arrive at where we're supposed to go, and we will discover the fulfillment of our hope. It was the star that led them to Jesus. And He is still our hope today. Not the sights and the sounds, however much they might encourage you. Not the gifts that you receive. Not the circumstances or situation you find yourself in. Here's what we need to remember. Nobody will ever find Christmas until their hope is fixed on following Jesus. You'll have a lot of opportunities to look at stars during the Christmas season. We've already got a star in front of our church waiting for first lights. And you're going to find stars on top of Christmas trees. And you're going to find stars as decorations. And you're going to find stars in shopping centers. And you're going to find stars everywhere you look. Some of those stars are going to be trying to draw you in, just like the one in front of our church. But there's only one that really matters, and it is the one that leads to Jesus. Jesus is our hope. And we turn to Him, and we look to Him, and we follow Him. And anything that would draw you away from Him into one direction or another is leading you in the wrong direction. However attractive it may be, or however appealing you may find it, the only star that matters is the one that leads to Jesus. So Mark, who has nothing about the birth of Christ in his gospel, has a message for you today. Prepare the way for the Lord. Prepare the way for the Lord in your home. Prepare the way for the Lord in your life. Put everything else aside. Neglect every other distraction. Don't let any other priority take his place. All that really matters this morning is this: have you prepared a way for the Lord? Are you here today and you're not a believer? You've never trusted Jesus in your heart? I want to tell you something. Open up the door and ask him in. Prepare a way for the Lord. Jesus Christ, Son of God, come into my life. Wash my sins away. Grant me eternal life. I want to prepare the way for the Lord. Or it may be that you're here today and you're recognizing, you know, if I'm going to follow God's way for my life, he's leading me right here to First Baptist Church. I want to be a member of this place. I want to plant my life in this fellowship of believers. Or maybe there's something that needs to be taken care of before you can truly prepare the way for the Lord in your life. Maybe there are things that have distracted you far too much. Maybe there are times when you have turned away and followed other stars. Maybe it's time for you to get back to where you belong and put him right in the center of your life. In a moment, we're going to stand and we're going to sing an invitation hymn, and it's your opportunity to come to prepare a way for the Lord. Trust him as your Savior. Come and say to myself and to Dr. Hutchins, I just want to trust Jesus. Or come and say, I want to plant my life in this church, my church. Do whatever he calls you to do. Let's stand. Let's sing. You come.
Isn't he?
Good to be in God's house today. Remember, this evening's a lot of preparation time as we do get ready. We're on the countdown for First Lights, and we're looking forward to that. Dr. Hopkins was mentioning a while ago, if you got something you need to do, Rich and I are going to be heading up the counseling group. That means you talk to people at the beginning or you greet them at the end and give them an ornament that thanks them for coming. We would love you to be part of our group. And we're going to be meeting in the conference room at 5 o'clock this evening. If you'd like to be part of that group, you come and say, I can't sing. I can't play an instrument, but I can hand out an ornament with the best of them. And we look forward to seeing you then. Let's bow together for a final prayer and then our last song. Father, we do thank you that we can prepare a way for the Lord in our lives. And that, Lord, you bless us. You guide us. You're with us. You're our Savior. And we trust you. Thank you, Lord, for all of the ways you take care of us and that we belong to you. And we pray in Jesus' name.
Good to be
Amen.
Here.
I'm so glad to see you, John.
Bless you.